Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. I've received a couple of emails with questions, which I intend to discuss in this session. One is from Narayan Srinivas Das, who is born into a Ramanuja Sampradaya, Brahmin family, Iyengar family. But in his particular family, it was already, even at his father's time, it was already Sakale Neha Mahata Yoga Nashta. The family traditions were not of Vaishnavism, were not being maintained. So something was there, but he didn't have much exposure to bhakti or prapatti, as they would say. But he took up Krishna consciousness via Srila Prabhupada's movement. Now he is inspired to translate some writings of the great Sri Vaishnavas of the past from Tamil to English, and giving a Gaudiya commentary on that. And for the purpose of doing so, he's also checking with scholars from the Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya to see what their feedback is from that. Mostly it's very favorable. Now, that's just the background. Here's his letter. Yesterday I went to, or I had been to, in Indian English, as he writes, I went to Ahobila Matam. This is in Hyderabad. But it's... it's in Hyderabad. It's a branch of the Ahobila Matam in South Andhra Pradesh. To meet two Tamil scholars accompanying Ahobila Mat Jia to discuss about my upcoming book. One of them went through my commentary and said it had been written well. He asked me to send a printout to him so that he could check thoroughly and give his comments. He took me to the Jia, which means the present Acharya. He took me to the Jia and told him about my book. Jia was very happy and blessed me. Looking at my Kunti Mala, he asked if I wore it always. When I replied yes, he asked even when I went to the toilet. I told him wherever I went, it would be there. Then he said that the mala would lose its pavitram if worn when going to the toilet, and so it should be removed. Further, he said, didn't we keep the holy thread circled around the ear when going to the toilet to protect its pavitra, its purity? He offered to show Shastra Pramans that the Kunti mala should be removed while going to the toilet, and it should be worn only when doing some auspicious activity, and asked for Pramans from us that it should be worn always. I told him that I was following the instructions of our acharyas and would check with my spiritual master. These people are very favorable to us at the Ahobila Matam. Regularly we have programs there in their just adjoining Kalyan Mandapam wedding hall. Recently, we had a two-day program there, and that's not the first time we've done it. And It's just next to the mutt or the temple. And they always request us when we go there with so many devotees to come in the temple and do kirtan. And as long as we go on doing kirtan, they'll be happy. Although actually they said, but they call us, you come and do kirtan, you must do kirtan. That's their only, they give the hall free, but you do it. You do kirtan. It's not, they don't oblige us to, but that's what they want us to do. No, only if some program is going on, they'll tell us, come at this time, because some other program may be going on. So they're very favorable. And mostly the who he showed this book to, it's the big people in the Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya. They're very open and favorable to that. Although mostly the Vadagalai seem to be more favorable. These Ahobila Mata and also Vadagalai. When he approached, I know that Sridhar Srinivas is doing a similar thing. When he approached the most well-known nowadays among the Tengalai, that was the, what's his name, Velagudi Krishna. He said that he didn't like to discuss unless someone with someone who has not had the samashrayam or their initial initiation. He said these things shouldn't be discussed except among such people. Although we do have Vaishnav initiation. I don't know whether they accept that or not. So mostly they're very open. But this question about wearing the tulsi beads, the neck beads at all times, is something which... It's not the first time I've heard Sri Vaishnavas asking about this and say that, well, it's wrong to do that, and according to Shastra, you should only do it when doing some auspicious activity, such as puja or Srinivas Kalyanam. Yesterday I was in the office of the police station, foreigners registration office. He had a TV in front of him with Srinivas Kalyanam going on in Tirumala. So he was watching that while he was doing his work. That means the marriage of Srinivas, I'm saying for the benefit of those who don't know these words. So that ceremony is going on live from Tirumala. So they had their beads. And you've seen in the Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya, their beads are removable. They have one strand like this. You can take them off and put them on. And they use it when particularly during auspicious activities. For one who is... Okay, let's give the Gaurīya perspective. For one who's fully engaged in Krishna's service, all his activities are auspicious. Iha yasya harer dasye kāmanā manasāgīrā nikilashvapyavastāsu jīvan muktasa ucchate. One is considered liberated in this very life. Actually, it's not even from a Gaurīya work. I believe this from Hari Bhakti Sudo Dai, which describes about Prahlad and Dhruva Maharaj, and it's really in the mood of Dasya. But it's quoted by Gaurīya. So, someone who is completely engaged there, mind, words, and activities in the service to Hari, and even while living in this world, he's fully liberated. He's liberated. So, of course, we do make a distinction between pure activities and impure activities. Pure activity, worshipping the deity, one should bathe before doing so. And impure activities, just like he's mentioned here, going to the toilet, that's an impure activity, after which one has to bathe to become ritually pure. Although a Vaishnava is always pure, Vaishnava Charitra Sarvada Pavitra. By his character, he's always pure, but if he's to engage in activities like cooking for the Lord, honoring prasadam, worshipping the deity, then he should be ritually pure by bathing, accepting fresh clothes, wearing fresh clothes, and so on. Chanting mantras for purification. For a fully pure devotee, there's no need to do all such things. But nevertheless, he still should do. I'd heard there's one godbrother of mine who used to live in Vrindavan, and he's passed away now, but he used to go on the altar without bathing just to emphasize the fact that he is liberated. Maybe. But I don't think any other acharyas did that. Well, other acharya, if you consider him. Yeah, many people consider him to be an acharya. That's one consideration. Another consideration is that we always wear this as a sign, along with, in fact, Srila Prabhupada emphasized this, that the beads are always to be worn. He said that even the clothing, you don't have to wear this clothing, this what we is sometimes called devotional clothing. You can wear, he didn't say jeans and t-shirts, but he did say men can wear conventional dress, which is considered respectable, his disciples. They can wear, respect means like a suit and tie, but they should always have tilak and neck. They should always have tilak and neck beads. And in this section of the Nectar of Devotion, in which the Vaishnava appearance is described, it's stated that in the kingdom of Malayadhwaj, one king, I believe that was his name, was a great devotee. Then even the people of the lowest category of society, they look as if they just come from, they're directly from Vaikuntha, because they're initiated as Vaishnavas and they have tilak and tulsi neck beads. So there seems to be some praman there of always wearing them, always wearing neck beads. And also there's the consideration that one who is wearing tulsi neck beads will not be taken by Yamaraj. So one can die at any time, but one who is wearing tulsi neck beads won't be taken by Yamaraj. Now these are some counter arguments, but the real point to be considered here, or the main point to be considered, is that there are different rules followed in different sampradayas. There are hundreds and thousands of rules concerning conduct within Shastra, and different acharyas, they select for their followers those which are suitable. Suitable for Vaishnavas. Again, this in this office yesterday, this policeman, he asked about why you're wearing this, and I explained this to Lassi, and this for Vaishnavas, and he showed me he was wearing a Rudraksha, and I said that's for Shaivas, follower of Lord Shiva, and I said Vaishnavas can also wear it. Did you know that? It's stated in Hari Bhakti Vilas. You can wear a Rudraksha, you can wear a crystal mala, so many things you can wear. Lotus malas, in the Madhva Sampradaya, they wear the lotus seed mala. So in Hari Bhakti Vilas, so many things are given, but we only follow those things which are, even though that's given by our acharya, but we follow what our particular acharya has given. And different things will be, some things are meant for Vaishnavas, some things are meant for Shaivas, some things are meant for smartas, and selectively followed. And even among Vaishnavas, there are different sampradayas with different ultimate aims of life. And so basically we have to say we have to follow what our acharyas say, what they select. You may say, well, that's something very important. Well, we could say that, well, maybe you should take off of that tilak also when you go for padi, when you go to the toilet. Yeah. We could also say, well, in the Sri Sampradaya, on Ekadashi, people eat idlis, so we're told, because they say, well, you're not supposed to eat grains, means, but when it's powdered, it's not a grain anymore. That's their reasoning. And in Bengal, I used to hear that people in Chaitanya Charitamrita, it's mentioned about not taking anna on Ekadashi. So they don't take anna, rice. It can mean rice or it can mean grains in general. So they take chapatis on that day, on Ekadashi. Some people. So different rules are interpreted differently. And to me it seems like a strange question, because I would think he must know this and understand this, that in different sampradayas different things are done differently by different people. And it's not the main thing, smartavya satatang Vishnu, to always remember Krishna. That is the aim of all the sampradayas. And it's a bit of an aggressive question. It's almost saying like your acharyas are wrong to have told you this. You could also ask him, but I wouldn't, because there's basically a very good relationship there and I wouldn't want to disturb that. But you can say, do you follow everything that Ramanuja taught? Does anyone nowadays follow as people used to follow even 100 years ago? What about the water you're taking? You say Brahmanas are only supposed to drink bathe in pure water. What are you doing in the middle of Hyderabad? The water is brought in by tanker, or you purchase bottled water to drink. So if you want to get into little details, then there's no end of it. But what's the point? I wouldn't take it up with him in particular. If someone is being very aggressive, you might do it. But I would avoid arguing with these people. Probably he thinks it's something very important. Another thing we don't do, which is there are so many things we don't do, which is stated in Shastra, even in our own Shastra we should do, is to have the branded marks of Shankha Chakra, Gada Padma. We also don't do that, which is stated in Shastra we should do. So, we don't worship Ganesh in our particular branch of the Gaudiya Sampradaya. Others do. So, what shall we do? We accept what Prabhupada gave us. What is suitable for us. And that may be modified also in course of time by different followers of Srila Prabhupada. In fact, it's going on already, not in a very good way, in dropping so many things that Prabhupada gave us in the name of making it easier or whatever for people to practice Krishna consciousness. So, my understanding is that Srila Prabhupada introduced Krishna consciousness among people who are so far away from it that he really just gave them the very, very basics, which practically in the beginning he just gave Harinam and Prasadam. And then lecture for those few who are willing to listen to it. Otherwise, he didn't demand anything. I read an account recently, one devotee wrote, the first time he saw Srila Prabhupada lecture, it was in a college hall, and two of the hippies there, they crawled up on the stage and went underneath Prabhupada's seat and went to sleep there. Can you imagine? It's probably they're intoxicated. They both became devoted, disciples of Prabhupada later, he wrote. So sometimes it's said we should revert to those early days where everyone was just like a brother and a sister, and then no one was very interested in rules, but If you say it was like brother and sister, then it later on became, in many cases, somewhat incestuous. In other words, living like brother and sister, but there was a lot of illicit mixing, and therefore rules and regulations are required. That's another story. But in general, we should look... this is something I want to emphasize in when we're discussing about Varnashram, especially here in India. There is... a revival, or not really a revival, but a new interest in Varnashram among devotees in India. Did you notice that? Devotees are talking about it. I just went to Mira Road in Bombay and I was specifically asked to speak about Varnashram. There's some talking about it, and devotees saying, oh yeah, that's what Prabhupada writes about in almost every page of his books. Oh yeah, what's it all about? So there's some interest. But Varnashram actually means one part of Varnashram society is many rules for all kinds of things. So we should know our rules. But then it's... Anyway, I won't talk more about that now. Just some... idea about that. Just for Narayan Srinivas. You can... actually he won't meet that Jiya, because the Jiya was just visiting. But if you do happen to meet him and you make these points about the Tulsi Mala and all this, you should do so in a very tactful way. Yeah, I already said that. Don't make an argument. Hare Krishna.